This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, and welcome to the 1912 Exiles, the podcast for Newport County fans, by Newport County fans. I'm Ian, and I'm your host tonight, and I'm joined by Ed. Evening, Ed.
Good evening. How are we doing?
I think we're all right, aren't we? I think we're all right. We'll get into whether we're frustrated or not in a minute, but before we get into all the detail of the Grimsby game today, I think you were in a pub chatting to people, so I think you've got a bit of a clip from that.
So, sitting in the Murringer, I'm joined by Ian and Tom, who've been in the away end, and Ben, Dave, me and my boy Daniel, who've been in the home end, trying to pick the bones out of that particular fishy affair at Rodney Parade. Ian, I'll start with you. Obvious question, from a Grimsby point of view, is that a point gained or two dropped?
Point gained, I think, away from home on our current record. Omar Bogle, yeah, thank you. And Danny Rose, yes, thank you. And Gaffer's unbeaten still in the league, so yeah.
It felt as though at 1-0, Omar Bogle scoring against his old club, it felt like the script had been written a little bit, and then Grimsby got themselves back in with the goal, and County were hanging on by the end. Was that how you saw it? Did you feel that you'd been sort of on the rack a little bit up until the equaliser?
On the rack until the equaliser, and it was all down our end the rest of the half, but we just couldn't put it in the back of the net.
And Dave, you had a better view than me of the goal that we let in from the very, very back of the Hazel stand. It looked like it had just kind of gone through Townsend's arms. You're a bit closer. You thought he was deceived by flight, to use a cricketing term.
I did. I mean, I was obstructed by one of Rodney's fantastic pillars. But it did look like it had taken a weird flight, and Townsend was just really struggling to judge where it was going to be. And then, obviously, the strikers gambled on it, and sure, got a little bit lucky, but Grimsby fully deserved a point by the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying this, Ben, that I think if anyone had walked away 3 points, it probably would have felt quite unjust. The weird thing for me was that possession stats, I think, was pretty much 50-50. But that's like 20% more than Newport than we're used to having this season. We'd be getting like 30-40% possession. And it was almost like we didn't really know what to do with it and didn't really have any cutting edge up front. I mean, I know you don't get to loads of games, but was that what you thought as well?
Yeah, definitely. The second half felt a lot more even to me. And obviously that's where the two goals came. I think the opportunity for Newport was that space of their second, the last 20 minutes of the first half, they had a lot more possession and failed to take anything out of being in the box, which felt to me to be the bit where they had the momentum and just weren't able to capitalise it. The rest of the game felt like it was much more evenly paced, so I suppose if Newport had made something like that, I could see them being in those ahead, but a draw feels quite reasonable given the game I watched.
Ian, hopes for the rest of the season? Do you think Grimsby and Newport will both end up roughly where they are now?
Mid-table mediocrity, I think, with Forest Green et al. In the drop.
Sutton got spanked
today. Sutton got absolutely spanked. I think mid-table's about right.
Yeah, had the feeling today of two teams coming away saying, it's another point on the board. We'll finish clear of trouble and then see where we are after that. Good. Well, we're going to stay here for a little bit and settle in.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, who out of you and your Grimsby mates then, who do you think feels better after that 90 minutes?
Well, I think as it probably came across in the clip, there was that feeling of both teams happy with a point. Probably on paper, it's a better point for them than it is for us. I don't think either side deserved to walk away with 3 points out of that. It was one of those games. Both teams cancelled themselves out, cancelled each other out rather. When we got our noses ahead with that goal from Bogle, we could and maybe should have pressed on, but I think we looked tired. I think it's that thing again of having to play midweek, the exigencies of that game at Barnet, which, you know, such a good win, such an important win for the money that it'll put in the coffers and everything else. But I think it took so much out of them, and we just looked dead on our feet by the end. I don't know, did it look like that on telly as well?
I definitely think we were tired towards the end, certainly, which does make me wonder a little bit, because the bench was a little bit stronger today than it has been for a while, wasn't it? And yet, I mean, we don't know the full level of the fitness of some of those players. But he does leave it, he leaves it quite late, doesn't he, Cocker, before he makes any changes? And part of me was wondering about that tiredness, about that, you know, could we have freshened up a little bit earlier? Maybe particularly after we scored, was that the time to, right, let's get some legs on now to sort of freshen up and hold it a bit?
So Evans was been told to get really warm, get stripped off, and was ready to come on when Bogle got the goal. And then that clearly, I think, changed the plan, because I thought, oh, right, hang on, well, we're not going to make the substitution we thought we were going to make. And they then took a little while longer before they brought him on. I mean, the thing is, it's so easy in hindsight, isn't it, to think, oh, we should have made subs earlier.
Yeah.
But then again, like you say, we don't have the strongest of benches. It was a little bit stronger this week, but you've got players coming back from injury. I just think it was just one of those days where, you know, you can huff and puff and create lots. Although actually, yeah, I mean, it's not like we created loads. We had a lot more possession than we are used to having. We had a lot of possession in the final third than we're used to having. But actually, in terms of clear-cut chances, there weren't loads. There was a stat that I think I sent around the group that I saw at half-time. In the first half, we had 19 crosses into Grimsby box, but only 3 of them were successful, i.e. reached a county head. I thought that told its story. I think the equivalent stat for Grimsby was 3 out of 6. So, you know, they were much more accurate with that final ball into the box. It was just one of those days. It like I say, it was two teams cancelling each other out.
I think for me, I think when we came into this, I was a little bit concerned with, you know, I think David Artell, who's got there as a manager. I mean, he was very much in the running for us, wasn't he, allegedly, before we went for Robbery. And I think a lot of the fan base, I was certainly really interested in him. I think he's a good manager, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I've got a good friend who's a Grimsby fan, as you know, from last year's pods. But I was saying to him, you know, he's a good shout, and the Grimsby fans, I think, are really keen to have him in. I think he'll do really well there. So I was a bit concerned about this game. Actually, I thought this was one we could potentially lose. I came away ultimately frustrated, I think, because having gone up with 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go, and then we had that chance where, you know, Seb hit the bar from that cross. I mean, he was stretching for it, and obviously, you know, it's going to go wherever it's going to go. But I mean, he'd beaten the keeper, so all he had to do was hit the goal, and it was going in, and it literally hit the frame, and it came out.
He had no right to get to that, though. I mean, yeah, the pace of the guy to get on the end of that, to get the acrobatics to get something to it from a difficult angle and everything. It would have been a great goal if it had got in. It's just such a shame, you know, inches in that.
Yeah, but I think once you go one up, and I think what you're always saying there about we had more of the ball a little bit than we used to doing. I think what was frustrating me watching on from afar was there were some real opportunities in that final third where there was a guy, you know, there was a time where I think Wilder was like I think it was Seb possibly went for a shot in the first half, and if he'd just rolled it across,
yeah.
I don't know. Wilder could have just, it's an open goal, you know. So that, there was a bit of lack of composure, I think, in that final third, where if we'd have just, you know, been a little bit calmer, there was a lot of shots where we seemed to like snap at it in the sort of in the edge of the box or in the box, you know, rather than like just that little bit more composure that we could have got a second, you know. And I think we'd have got a second, it would have put it to bed.
I think we've also got to slightly take our hats off to Grimsby for the way they managed us, because, all right, Barnet are a conference team, but the way we consistently carved them open with balls through the middle for Seb to run onto, Grimsby had obviously watched that and thought, right, we need to keep a close watch on this guy. And he had very few opportunities to get clear. You know, the couple that he did, like you said, there was one, I think you misjudged one, where the defender got back and got a block in. But he just didn't have the same opportunity to chase balls through as he'd had midweek. And that I think was a real glaring difference. Grimsby had worked out the job they needed to do to stop the supply line to him.
I think we pressed well. You know, I think the pressing game was there. I think what concerns me a little bit, and it was there for the equaliser, and it's been there a little bit all season for me, is that if they get past the press, there's galloping acres of space in the middle of the park. I tend to find so that goal, their second goal, they beat the press, they get steaming up the middle, passed it out to the wing, first brilliant cross in, goal. You know,
yeah.
And there's been times, I think, consistently where once that press is beaten, there's a big hole opens up in the middle of the park, and I think that is a bit of a worry for me in terms of, you know, how do we stop that? You know, because it's all very well pressing game's great, but if you've got three or four at the front pressing, once you get past that, you've got a big gap then between those three or four pressing at the front and your back line, and it's like.
And I think that's where Charsley coming back will help, because I think he does some of that stuff a little bit more effectively and a bit more efficiently than perhaps Wildick was able to do today. But it's such small margins sometimes.
Because I don't think that's, you know, I think Wildick had a really good game, actually. I think we know it's the difference when he's on the pitch, but I think that he isn't going to be one of these people sort of, who's going to sweep up the back, is he? He's not going to do that. So, you know, once it goes past him, you know, we need somebody there to do that mopping up work, to stop that. You know, we need a Labadie-type character to stop that play in the middle of the park. You know?
Yeah.
Because the amount of times people have just run through us, it worries me a little bit. What did you think of... I was quite interested to watch Payne, you know, from wing-back, because I think he is improving as a player. I think it's quite interesting for me. I think when I first saw him, I thought he's never going to make the mark. I think he is improving. I don't think he's there yet. And I think if Scouse Lewis can come back on the left, and we can switch Macca over to the right, I think that would be the two that we'd play. But in the meantime, while he has been playing, I definitely think he's improving. Again, in the final third, I mean, he was good at Barnet. Final third today, he wasn't as good, but he did. He does offer something, I think. What have you seen about him, like, live? What do you think?
His crossing let him down today, but on other occasions it's been quite good. I like him as an attacking wing back, you know, in the same way, different character, but in the same way that Norman last season would bomb down that wing and ask questions of fullbacks. Yeah, Payne has been doing that the last few games. And Daniel Mike pointed out that on that flank today, you had Payne going down our right, and you had Issa for Grimsby going down their left. And the two of them both looked like the best creative outlet for their teams. And I mean, yeah, Payne was really effective, I thought, today. I mean, like I say, apart from his final ball, I thought it was very obvious, particularly first half, we were trying to use him as the outlet. I'm with you. I think probably when Lewis comes back, it's Lewis and McLaughlin as the wing-backs, but I don't mind Payne at all. I think, weirdly, Payne has probably been a better find than Bonswell, even though Bonswell was probably the one we were more excited about at the start of the season. Yeah. But these things never quite turn out the way you think they will.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I was excited by Bonswell, but he hasn't had a huge amount of luck in, hasn't he? But I guess that for me, again, comes back to a little bit to the subs thing for me. You know, he stayed on the bench. Keeban Rye doesn't seem to be getting a, you know, a bit of pace. You know, you think, you know, could he? It just, I don't know. It just seems like we know we're tired, and it either doesn't trust those players, which may be the case, or we're missing a little bit of opportunity later in games to try and get some more legs on the pitch.
You know, I think it would be really good to see Rye get a bit more time in games to ask a different question of defenders. But then again, I don't know. Part of me wonders whether the second half of the season he's going to find himself shunted out on loan somewhere, especially if we can bring in someone a bit more experienced. So, you know, that's probably one to discuss when we do January transfer windows.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think of, I thought one thing was quite interesting today was there was a little bit of a clash of styles in terms of, you know, they were doing this thing where the keeper has the ball and like passes it like their two sort of fullbacks are inside the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
Like, you know, trying to be like Man City or whatever. What did you think to that in terms of the, like, effective, pointless? What was the...
Well, like you say, we were trying something very different. We were doing a lot of balls forward and then ceding possession straight away. And the thing is, this new approach of defender pass it to goalkeeper pass it to another defender with the kind of preset goal kick routine, it's fine until someone fucks up in your own penalty area and gets pressure put on them. I mean, I think that was it Doncaster right at the start of the season were guilty of doing that. You know, when it goes wrong, it goes really wrong. So I don't know, I'm quite old school about it. I think it's a goal kick. Get some snow on it, get it nice and high up in the sky down the other end of the pitch. But I don't know, the stats probably suggest that that's the wrong way. Thought it was quite interesting to sort of look at that from afar, really, and just sort of how that translated sort of live to sort of, you know, seeing them trying to pass the ball, whereas we were a more pressing, more direct sort of style. There was times I was watching, I think there's a good game trying to break out here, but nobody really quite had the quality to enable that good game to break out.
Grimsby, I thought, showed quite a lot of good touches of skill. They had a I can't remember his name, but I think it was number 42. You know, there are a few little flicks and tricks within there that I thought were quite impressive. The other thing that we talked about in the pub that I'd stopped recording by that point was we had a bit of a look at the league table, and, you know, because we're now right on the cusp of every team having played half of their fixtures by this point. We played 22, Wrexham will be 23, and then that's the halfway point. Sutton and Forest Green have cut adrift a little bit at the bottom, 14 and 15 points respectively, and then it's a bit of a jump up then to Colchester, who are on 20, Tranmere on 21. There's a feeling, I think, that Sutton are already starting to be a bit more cut adrift than Forest Green, and it's harder to see them strengthening as much in January. So Sutton feel as though they're in real trouble. Forest Green, though, there's still 5 points between them and Colchester, although Forest Green have a couple of games in hand. Forest Green will throw a lot of money at the problem in January, but then again, they've not spent particularly well so far, but they've got some good players on their books. Colchester, I think, are the team I would be most worried about if I was a fan of theirs, because they were abject when they came to us in October. Yeah, then above that, you think, well, Tranmere are now on it, putting together a nice little run. Salford, not having the best of seasons, but again, you'd expect them to improve. Doncaster, Grimsby and us, again, I feel like we've all got enough about us to probably be okay. So it probably is kind of two out of three with Colchester, Forest Green and Sutton. Even at this stage, it feels that they're the ones who are really down in the mire. And I just wondered whether you'd, you know, from the bits you've seen of those teams, what your view was. I'm slightly surprised by Sutton, I'll be honest, because they've, every time I've seen them, they've been effective, I think it is the best. You know, they've always had a lot of big players, they've known what they're doing, they've always been effective, but clearly they've not got it right so far this season, have they? And as you say, they look a little bit adrift. Colchester have been drifting for a couple of seasons, haven't they? You know, they're one of these clubs that
they've got that kind of death spiral thing going.
Yeah, yeah. So unless something changes there, you could see, I agree with you, you could see them being the one. I mean, there's always somebody often who drifts down as well, isn't there? You know, hopefully not us, but there is some. I mean, the clubs you were talking around that around us, I think they'll all be fine. You know, I mean, you know, Grimsby are a real surprise to me. I thought they'd be playoff contenders, you know, this year, and they still might be. Who knows? You don't need that much to put a run together. Yeah. But, you know, they're not going to struggle, you know, particularly after seeing them today. They're not going to struggle. And they'll probably buy in January as well. Yeah. Salford, you could, will be fine, you know. So it is Colchester and maybe somebody else to drift back towards them to make it a four.
But yeah, from our point of view, we're now on 26 points. Obviously, when we go to Wrexham next Saturday and win, then that's going to be 29. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, although I was frustrated after today's game, like we said right at the start of the season, every time we pick up a point, it's a point, yep. You know, we've picked up a point and that we should celebrate that. Looking ahead then, Ed, you mentioned Six Finland Cousins from the North. That's the next game, isn't it? Like, how are we feeling about that? We bothered about it? Not bothered about it?
Let's be clear, it's not a derby match. It's a grudge fixture. I'm happy to accept it's a grudge fixture. That's fine. It's not a derby. How do I feel about it? Well, I'm not going because it's my youngest's birthday. And so, you know, I'm under orders to be doing stuff with the family, which is fine. I mean, look, it's going to be a tough trip, isn't it? They've got a good team. They're sat in, third place at the moment and are on a nice run. It's one of those. Anything out of that's a bonus. I'm not expecting us to come away with anything. But yeah, if we do, then that's a happy bonus. I'm more focused, I think, probably on the Boxing Day game against Forest Green, because that's one you really don't want to lose that.
If we win now, that puts, what is there between us and them now? About 10 points, is there something like that?
At the moment, 11 points.
So, you know, you win that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
I think, yeah, you almost don't worry too much about Wrexham. You want to have your best players fit, ready, not having overindulged in roast turkey and Christmas pud, and ready for Forest Green. And then, you know, don't forget, after Forest Green, we've then got that game, home game against Crewe. Now, all right, they're in fifth and in a nice position in the table, but at home against them, you'd want to get something out of that. I think if we can get 4 points or more out of those three games, that's a good return.
Yeah, yeah. Now, talking to the Christmas puds, I don't know if you noticed Bogle's really bizarre booking where he just hiked the guy down at the end of the thing. Now, there's a bit of, I'm not 100% certain on this, but like someone saying he's already on four bookings. That was his fifth. So did he do that deliberately so he could have, he's got Christmas off?
It was right in front of the referee. It wasn't subtle. I mean, he literally stuck his hands around his neck and just pulled him down. It did feel like, what are you doing? So I think there are two schools of thought. The conspiracy theorist, and I do love a good conspiracy theory, was, yeah, he's trying to make sure that he's ineligible for the Wrexham game so that he can make a start on driving home for Christmas and enjoy his break. I think since then it's been pointed out that they because they kind of wipe the slate clean at some point, don't they? I think that was an outcome game. So
then I think,
yeah. So I think actually that conspiracy has been debunked. One of our listeners, I can't remember who it was now, my apologies, made the point on Twitter rather more prosaically that actually at that point in the game, Grimsby were kind of really causing us problems and coming at us in midfield, and maybe just breaking up the fixture at that point, taking the professional foul, was the right thing to do, which may well be the case. But it was a very cheap booking to give away.
It was. So I think we've wrapped up the Wrexham game, haven't we? And we've wrapped up we don't care about it. We're going to go up there and win. And we've wrapped up the Grimsby game. So player of the pod, Ed.
Oh, that's a tough one. Do you know what? I think I'm going to give it to the lad Payne, because I thought he played really well Tuesday night at Barnet. I thought he played well today, despite his crossing perhaps letting him down a bit. And, you know, we've talked a lot on the pod recently about Seb Palmer-Holden and how great he is. I'm a fully paid up member of his fan club at the moment. We talked about Clark the other week. Delaney today got man of the match and richly deserved. He was, again, you know, a real unit. But I feel as though, yeah, the wing backs have been just quietly getting on with it. You know, McLaughlin, again, we talked about the other week because of his wonder goals. But Payne has just been slowly coming of age in that right wing back slot. So I'm going to give it to him.
I am going to give it to Aaron Wildig. I think we look so much better when he's in the team. And I think that although we didn't do anything brilliant today, everything that we did that was good, he was near it or involved. And there was some lovely link up plays with Bolt at times. He was making some really, really good runs. I mentioned that one in the first half. If Seb had just lifted his head, slid it across, he was in. And he did that all game. I think that he just didn't have anyone to find him. So I'll give it to Wilding, I think. Shout out some beefs.
I've not got any.
How about you?
I'm not sure if I've got a shout out. I've definitely got a beef. I was following off my follow and it was a shambles. Oh, yeah. About 20 minutes in before we got a picture, it was really bad. I'm just like, you know, come on. It's like, can't be that. I don't know what's going on with the tech there. But yeah, that's definitely a beef. So I think that does us done, Ed, for but for the listeners out there, keep them peeled because we've got an absolute cracking Christmas pod coming out on sometime this week. Wednesday, Ed, we think it maybe?
Yeah, I think, there was a bit of discussion about when we were going to drop it, as the young people say. So expect that to drop around Wednesday if I get around to editing it. But
brilliant. So keep them peeled for that. Anyone going to Wrexham next week? I didn't get tickets. So anyone going, look after yourselves, you know, stay safe, back the team well. And don't do anything silly. You know, if we don't speak to you before then, hope everyone has a really good, safe Christmas, enjoys themselves, gets behind the team on Boxing Day. Let's put a few points on the veggies. And we will be joining you at some point between Christmas and New Year, and we'll do a bit of a wrap up of it all. In the meantime, keep it safe, keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.